1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We talk a lot about taking care of plants. What about starting from scratch? You're starting to see building, new subdivisions going up, complete redos of properties that are aged. Where do you start in the design process?
Well, start with a design. I mean, start with somebody that knows how to design the landscape, you know, and all its nuances. You don't have to do the whole design at one time. If you have a budget, or you know, you can do it in phases and stages. But if you have the design, just like, you know, building a house, you wouldn't think about building a house without having a set of plans, or doing a room addition. And the same applies to a landscape, you know. So make sure it's well thought out, whether you're just adding on or expanding it or remodeling it, or you know, starting from scratch. You want somebody who has the ability and the foresight to take your lifestyle and your desires and what you want to do and how you want to live and how you want to use your outdoor living space and make it work the right way. And, you know, frankly, there is no better value to expand living space than the outdoor part of it, you know, some pavers and landscape and lighting and maybe a little bit of a pergola or a slatted cover or something like that for a fraction of what it costs per square foot to build structure and, you know, add on a room addition. You know, you can do an outdoor living space, you know, and use it. And we're in the outdoor business here. You know, I mean, you know, we just talked about being able to start going outside again. And I went to a house this morning on my way here and made a little call, and they had their doors and windows open. And, you know, and here we are, middle of September. So middle of September to about the middle of May next year, we're outside, or can be outside as much as we're inside. So it just makes sense, you know, to have a nice barbecue area or outdoor kitchen, or, you know, place where you can entertain and eat and do all of that. And it, and the products and the accessories and the things that we use to develop that just get better and better and better all the time. But you want to have somebody plan it out for you. You know, there's a lot of people make a lot of mistakes when it comes to doing some of that, and you want to try and alleviate that, because especially if you start talking in hardscaping, or it can be a costly mistake.
And it can be easy to go to botanical gardens, walk around town, see. You'd mentioned golf courses earlier, and think, oh gosh, it's doing great here. That'll do great in my yard. Well, a lot of those places, they've got professionals full time taking care of those plants to make sure they look like that.
Correct.
The microclimates, the soil conditions. There's a lot of factors that can come in.
Yeah, if you want to look at what, and this is a great time to do this, by the way, after we've gone through summer. Drive the neighborhood, drive normal people's houses in normal subdivisions, and see which plants have thrived and look the best. And use that as your bones of your landscape, your foundation of your landscape, the trees, the shrubs, the vines that are permanent. Then you can play with pots and pockets and beds and planter areas. And, you know, that's what the resorts do. They'll take little areas and they change them out all the time. You know, they'll put something in there that's pretty, and if it only lasts a few months, you know, it's just a little pocket here and there, or a bed in here. In the case of a resort, it might be a pretty big area because they've got the budget to do that. But you can play with all kinds of cool stuff and have really pretty color beds and color plantings and containers and raised beds. But use the good old basic, tough, hardy stuff that's going to do well here as the bones of your landscape first. And that's where it really takes somebody that knows what they're doing to plan that for you.
Tex is very busy this morning. You can tell people are just out enjoying the beautiful weather and scape and atmosphere. Yep. And we've got a couple people, one individual out plant shopping, and wants to know what it means when it talks about light exposure. This individual plant's listed for 6 hours of direct sunlight. Wants to know, will it still be okay on the north side of my patio that doesn't get direct sunlight?
Well, you know, sometimes those little tags, and that's where it really pays to go to a good independent garden center that can walk you through that. Because sometimes those tags are put on by a grower that might be in California, or Florida or up north, and what they consider being able to tolerate full sun for 6 hours may not be Arizona full sun for 6 hours. So ultimately, or ideally, what those tags are designed to do is say, okay, this plant probably at a minimum needs 6 hours of sunlight to perform properly. So if you have an area that does not get any, it's probably not a good choice for you.
Now, what would be a good choice for a shaded patio north facing?
You know, it depends on what you want to do there, but things like Arabian jasmine are awesome. Star jasmine is a great plant for there. Even some of our tropical bird of paradise and mock oranges and asparagus fern, springeri fern, myeri fern, those kind of plants are going to do really well in a kind of a complete shaded area. Now we get into areas that are completely up under a covered entryway that are not only shaded, they're just flat dark. And that's a whole nother issue. So again, we talked about somebody with some expertise. That's where you're going to need some help. And sometimes, quite frankly, there's just areas that it's trial and error a little bit. And that's the great thing about plants is they're really not that expensive. You know, you can afford to make a $20 or $30 mistake now and then. It isn't that big a deal. Now, if you're buying a $200 palm, you probably want to make sure that it's going to work where you put it. But if you've got a couple of pots by the front door and you spend $20, $30, $40 and it doesn't work, you know, we go out to dinner at restaurants and have bad meals that cost $100. So, you know, and we do that all the time. So I wouldn't sweat the small stuff.
Another texter wants to know about what to do about a jasmine plant that suddenly died. One, figuring out what was the cause, and then going back, should they replant that or should they find something else? It's north side of a block wall next to a pool, so they don't want it to be too dirty.
Well, I guess that's where it's nice to ask a question back. How long did it do well? Now, if it
10 years.
It had been there for 10 years and it suddenly died, mm-hmm. then I'd plant another one. You know, you got 10 years out of the sucker. It cost maybe $25, $30, $40, even if it was $100. And it lasted you 10 years. We've got dishwashers and washing machines that don't last 10 years, and they cost thousands of dollars. So, you know, I if you liked it and it did well there for 10 years, I'd just plant another one.
What are some other good vines around a pool? Are there...
You know, Tangerine Beauty Crossvine is a great one. It'll tolerate a fair amount of shade, although it needs bright light and enough, and it'll certainly take full sun. Really good one, pretty clean. Clings by itself, so it doesn't get real wild and crazy growing out away from a wall. So that's certainly one I would consider. Tangerine Beauty Crossvine.
Crossvine.
Long name, but it's a great vine.
Pretty easy to find.
Yeah, generally. Yep.
Most nurseries will have that.
They should, yes.
Fruit trees. This is the time. In fact, next week I'll be live for this Outdoor Living Hour at the Great American Seedup going on at the North Phoenix Baptist Church. If you are looking for fall gardening, that's worth the drive to get there.
Yeah, so... Fall vegetable gardening, fall seeds. You talked about fruit trees. This is a great time. The only problem with finding fruit trees, citrus is pretty easy to find in the fall, and it's a great time to plant citrus. But deciduous fruit trees, would be a great time to find them. But unfortunately, the selection and the supply of deciduous fruit trees is generally not as good this time of year as it would be in the spring. But boy, it's just the best time to plant. We've got cooling air mass. Cooling soil, less stress on the plants. The soil is relatively warm and going to stay warm for a while. And we can get these plants rooted, established, and for come next spring, next March or April, they're just going to jump out of the ground.
Let's get to, I'm going to make sure, let's see, doing a time check here. We're going to bring in, how do you pronounce that?
I don't know.
Burl? Burl and
Scott. B-Y-R-L. Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I have a problem. I have three hibiscus plants, and up till 3 weeks ago, they just looked beautiful, and all of a sudden, they started dying. What's happening to them? They're not in the same area, and everything around them seems to be doing fine.
Typically, what we see with hibiscus late summer is probably root rot, or they're just collapsing due to stress, due to the high heat, the high nighttime temperatures, and hot soil that's probably stayed too wet. That would be my first guess as to what's going on.
And that's pretty easy to recover coming into the fall and just
Once plants collapse, I mean, the problem with root rot or the associated diseases that kill a plant because of that is that it's generally once you know you have it, the plant's dead.
Mm.
The plant has collapsed and it's gone. And, you know, replanting is really your only substitute. Hibiscus, like really good drainage. They don't like to stay terribly wet. They can do relatively well here if you've got the right spot for them. The heat, they don't really mind so much. But when they stay too wet and then over, that just accumulates. And along about usually August or early September is when we see root rots in general manifest themselves.
We appreciate the call. Sorry to hear about your problems with your hibiscus. Good luck on the recovery. It's fall. There's events going on just about every corner of the state right now. We're going to jump out to Chuck in a truck. Who's it? Junk in the trunk. Good morning, Chuck.
Well, good morning, folks. Good morning, Romy and all. Yes, it's a market of sorts. They call it a vintage market. And the company name is Junk in the Trunk Vintage Market. It's out here at the Westworld facility in the big, large air-conditioned building. I have never seen so many items. I mean, if I made a wild guess, there's got to be a million items. And they can be small and up to furniture or ladders. I saw silver platters, clothing, jewelry. I mean, just unbelievable amount. So now's the time to get out here. You can get in for $8 at the gate, $5 for parking, and it's all day today till 4 p.m. You can even rent little baskets that you can haul because people are carrying out tons of stuff. So it's going to be here all day today and all day tomorrow, the same hours, 9 to 4. And it is quite an event. I've had people make appointments with me because, you know, it's Pella Windows and Doors. We need people to come over, see me, sign up, and I've got that golden discount ticket to hand out for people who come in and make appointments. So it's just really cool.
Well, that's Mr. Chuck McCracken. We call him Chuck in the Truck because he's all over the great state of Arizona, just about any event you can find with the Pella display booth. But have you picked out one particular item that you've got your eye on from this vintage fair?
Well, I'm a car guy, and I've had collectible cars, and I saw one of those little pedal cars. It's just across the way from me, and I'm hoping no one buys it, so I got my eye out on it.
There you go. Folks, we don't want you to make a decision on your windows until you've talked to Chuck out today at the Junk in the Trunk Vintage Market at Westworld. It's 9 to 4 today and tomorrow. It's a shopping experience like no other. It brings hundreds of artists together to showcase unique vintage and handmade items. Admission's $8. You get there and you find the big yellow Pella flag and the booth with all the window displays and go see Chuck. He'll have a free giveaway waiting for you and a special golden discount off your total Pella window or door project. Financing is available. I've been a fan of Pella for years. This is a great opportunity for you to become a fan of Pella. Get out to the Junk in the Trunk Vintage Market. Find Chuck and don't make a decision on your windows until you've reached or received a quote from Pella.